I'm delighted to be invited to present. I was kind of inspired by the last event, so I'm very happy to be here. I have to say, there isn't a slide showing. It won't be deliberate this time. It'll be a mistake. Anyway, in this paper, I'm taking a critical look at the control of livestock disease mediated by technological innovation. I'm particularly interested in RFID technology embedded in livestock ear tags, and how this particular artifact of ubiquitous computing, or Ubicom as it's known, deployed within a large socio-technical system of surveillance involving critical control points, databases, regulatory regimes, all to trace animal movements, how all this potentially has quite profound implications. I'll use some ideas from Michael Foucault to try and show what sort of phenomena this particular ubiquitous computing system is. Firstly, I should say that the logo at the bottom, I'm from EPIC, which is one of Scotland has a number of centres of expertise set up by Scottish Government, and EPIC is set up specifically to provide scientific advice pertaining to livestock animal disease, specifically regarding outbreaks and responses. But beyond that, we're also tasked with looking at precaution, strategic thinking about prevention, preparedness and so forth. So that's one of the hats that I wear. I'm involved as a qualitative researcher in certain work packages within this remit, and part of my role, it has something to do with changing farmer behaviours. I'll expand a little bit on why this paternalistic sounding aim might be a good thing or not as I go along, so I'll be trying to critique that a little bit as well. So there are two kind of questions. I've got a little bit of a split personality going on. The first one is, at the project level, how do I get farmers to change their behaviours? And the second one, a little bit more philosophically, that I'm trying to deal with today is, what sort of road are we on with this ubiquitous technology? Is this the right thing to do? Is this somewhere we really want to go? So what I've been doing as a qualitative researcher within EPIC is interviewing farmers over the past year or so, and I focused on farm level technology. I mean, there was a remit to look broadly at livestock disease, but I've focused on this farm level technology as a potential driver of change. So if we are to see some sort of behavioural changes in what farmers do, my reasoning is, what actual material arrangements might drive that change? And since technology is widely thought to be an engine of change in all things social, this might potentially be a good place to look. If we are to make some sort of improvement, maybe it's good to look at the technology. So why would the government want to change farmers' behaviour anyway? I think their basic case is that shocks to the system, particularly where there's a public health angle, also there's commonly a commercial angle on these things, but particularly where there's a public health risk, these are legitimate objects for the government to seek to manage. Shocks such as the 2001 foot and mouth outbreak, before that BSE and associated CJD, and more recently this horse meat, although this clearly isn't a livestock disease, but these kind of issues are kind of necessarily interesting to government. And turning to the technology itself, emergent technology, specifically RFID technology, allows or affords, to use the language of STS, unprecedented level of governance through surveillance over animals, particularly livestock animals. Affordance, at least theoretically, to use real-time data regarding the location of animal bodies through a socio-technical surveillance system. What that promises is the ability to know where all livestock animals are all the time, potentially. And I'm suggesting that this is no trivial concern. We looked at the horse meat earlier. You might think that was just a media story of some sort. But this is potentially a very, very grave concern indeed. We go back, the silent bottom is at Suffolk County Council, so you might remember the 2003, I think it was, Holton, the avian H5N1 avian flu outbreak at the Bernard Matthews plant. At that time, some people certainly thought we were on the brink of some global pandemic, which is a possibility, it's happened before. And what I'm suggesting is that something new is happening. What we appear to be doing at the moment is considering using Ubicom as an epidemiological tool in quite a new way. Historically, of course, we've used technology to control animal disease. Indeed, socio-technical systems have been in operation pretty substantially since BSE. So the system of tagging, barcoding and paper passports, all as part of a meat assurance program to give us some traceability. This was in the wake of BSE. Incidentally, this is the kind of tags that have been around since then. Incidentally, this did happen before, as early as 1913 in Canada. These kind of systems were used in connection with bovine TB. So it's not really a new thing. Quite a substantial system has been in operation at a European level since BSE. How this works, every bovine animal in the EU has a unique number on the ear tag and a corresponding paper passport. This is held by the keeper of the animal. The animal retains its passport until it's recorded at the abattoir at the animal's death. This allows traceability of beef. BCMS, the British Cattle Movement, service, is responsible for this. They run what's called the CTS, the Cattle Tracing System, and they're responsible for this data, which is currently at a relatively low technological level. It involves manually collating this kind of data. EID is newer. It's a specific socio-technical system. It uses RFID technology enabled in the ear tag that can record movements on and off farms, through markets and slaughterhouses, as animals pass through gates or using a handheld reader. Some of them look a little bit like a kind of lightsaber. So in principle, it's now possible to know where all cattle and indeed other livestock are at all times, allowing for some error rate which you'd get in any technical system. So the current direction of travel is for the EU to have more and more EID. There's already mandatory EID in sheep. All sheep over a certain age in Scotland have an EID tag already. Voluntary take up of the scheme for cattle is not proving very successful at the moment, which is why researchers at EPIC are looking at this kind of issue. And what I'm doing over here with the phones, I'm suggesting that at the same time this kind of ubiquitous computing is influencing disease control, at the same time within society more generally, there's an emergence of a whole variety of ubiquitous computing. There's been a proliferation of what I'm calling civilian use in this context, digital technology and Ubicom. So my approach was to ask the farmers about both the civilian use of the technology that they seem to be embracing and the use in terms of disease control that they seem reticent in certain respects to adopt. And this was prompted largely by some, calling them hypotheses is a bit strong, but some views about why this was happening. I mean, basically, plenty of people thought that they knew exactly why the farmers weren't or were reluctant to use EID. So I started by looking at what I was being told. The list looks a little bit superficial, but I'll deal with them anyway. So to deal with them, I did some field work. I did qualitative interviews throughout Scotland with farmers and other stakeholders. I'm just back from a scenario planning event in Edinburgh where we had Scottish Government, auctioneers, veterinarians, a variety of stakeholders. I visited ScotEID, which is one of the systems where they're trying to coordinate all this intelligence, if you can call it that. And particularly over the last 18 months, I've been interviewing cattle farmers throughout Scotland, particularly in Aberdeenshire and Orkney, and asking them a series of questions about technology, specifically disease control technology, to see if there are any intrinsic barriers to why they're not taking up or the things that they are taking up. So in general, two things. The general use of ubiquitous technology, including digital devices, smartphones, sat-nav, the internet. And secondly, specifically, disease control technologies. So the first one of these things, farmers are self-interested. They respond only to carrot and stick type stimulus, or they're simply capricious. Well, perhaps it doesn't deserve too much attention, this particular view, and it's clearly not very sociological. The basic assumption in sociology being that we're all subject to, we're constrained and subject to social influences, and deeply influenced by our environment. Nevertheless, this is the kind of thing I was being told. So the data that I gathered confirmed scepticism about what's quite an essentialist sort of claim. The farmers appear to exhibit the same range of responses to innovation as one might expect in the general population. In other words, there was mixed uptake of all sorts of things. Sat-navs, Facebook, whatever. One of the commonest reasons cited was that innovation made laborious tasks easier, which again, perhaps fairly general. I mean, clearly there's some truth to the idea that there's strong economic drivers to farmer behaviour. Farming is, after all, at least largely a commercial enterprise. Nevertheless, economic stimulus alone seems to be an unsatisfactory answer for a couple of reasons that I've identified. I mean, first, we're not really in a position to remove self-interest. We could compel farmers, as we have done with the sheep. We could compel them to adopt the technology. But beyond that, it's not really a very good place to begin an analysis. Secondly, which is perhaps more interesting, is the question why they don't see it in their interest. I mean, it's about livestock disease control, sort of things that farmers might do. Why would they not be self-interested in this area? The second one, then, being internet shy, again, is a little bit superficial. It's plausible enough in a sense. From the beginning, the internet's been a kind of desk-bound thing, an indoor thing. That's not what farming is. Farmers are outside. Computing is going that way, but perhaps they're a little bit less likely to uptake these things because they're more outdoor type people. But again, this didn't really fit the data particularly well. While there was, I admit, something of a Marmite effect when I asked farmers how much do you browse, how much do you like the internet, once you started probing a little bit deeper, the professed dislikes pretty rapidly disappeared most of the time. Most of the farmers I spoke to admitted quite extensive internet use. One farmer, for example, after initially claiming as little as possible, turned out to be regularly checking livestock market prices online, browsing farm sales for bargains, and responding to NFUS emails. He suggested over a dozen per day, which might not sound a lot to this audience, but he thought it was quite a lot. I'll just quote him briefly. "Well, I usually check on the local council website every day, just for the sort of local news, and mart type pages to see what the prices has been in most in the mart, both Kirkwall and Thanestone." Kirkwall's the mart in Orkney, and Thanestone's in Aberdeenshire. "So my overall impression was that farmers are as technologically engaged as the rest of us, really. One farmer had CCTV cameras in calving sheds, through which on his smartphone he could look at this process, he said, while he was in Morrison's. In fact, some were clearly very enthusiastic. Here's another quote about sheep EID. Well, it's a brilliant thing. Electronic tagging in sheep is the best thing that ever happened. I'm told most folk hate it, but for us whose pedigree and having to tag lambs at birth and record the parentage and performance recording we send away as well, the Siren Reader is an absolute godsend. I'm sure other readers are available. So lastly, this too old for technology. It's plausible enough, I suppose. It is an ageing profession in that sense. We've got a lot of older farmers. They didn't seem to be particularly engaged with Twitter and Facebook. But nevertheless, all the farms had lots of visible technology on show. One beef farmer in Orkney, quite an oldish chap, had a fancy Mac with a huge screen and a wireless printer. So they seemed to be taking it on board pretty much the same as the rest of us in a lot of cases. What they didn't seem that anxious to adopt was EID cattle. So I began to recognise something of a disconnect here. I was talking to them about disease control technology, they didn't really recognise anything at all in that category. They didn't primarily see any of this surveillance technology as disease control. It was to do with compliance, it was something they had to do. It wasn't really part of disease control strategy. When they had to do it for sheep tagging, they did it. Some enthusiastically, some grudgingly, but the voluntary schemes were largely shunned. Now, I'm not saying that they're ignorant of these strategic objectives, but even when probed, they tended to see things like CTS as connected to historic BSE problems, e.g. a meat assurance scheme, rather than any current disease, and they thought it was probably currently unnecessary. This kind of thinking is probably reinforced in them by information that's put out to them. These are both guidance. The one on that side is guidance for the sheep scheme. And reading through it, there's very little mention of disease control anywhere in it. In fact, the only reference was that I'll read out briefly. These regulations are affected by European law and are intended to improve traceability by introducing individual animal recording, which will allow us to manage a disease outbreak more effectively. That us didn't include the keepers. The keepers were throughout referred to as you. I guess it's the Scottish Government for the us. So if the farmers don't want an EID, who's really driving this? At the scenario planning during the week, one of the Scottish Government's policy chaps confided that novel ideas were unlikely to have come from the Scottish Government. So I'm suggesting that it's veterinary epidemiology that's largely driving some of this. This chap's supposed to represent a veterinary epidemiologist, although other audiences might read the maths out and tell me something different. But veterinary epidemiology, I'm suggesting, has conforms to something or can be interpreted with a Foucauldian analysis, with these three key concepts. I mean that Foucault develops ideas of governmentality and biopolitics around these three key concepts, which seem equally central to veterinary epidemiology. Biosecurity, firstly, paraphrasing Foucault's concern about security. It's quite established now, although it's relatively quite a new term. Whether it has any precise meaning is another question. At the farm level, farmers struggle to move beyond ideas about washing wellies, some limited perimeter defence, and again, they associate it with previous FMD outbreak, not with any broader strategy. It's quite understandable in a way. It's quite a sciencey term, and you might envisage these high lockdown CDC kind of disease control centres that you'd see in films like Outbreak. It doesn't really seem that sort of thing you'd have on a dirty farm with a messy environment in the open air. And I'm not saying it served no purpose historically dealing with FMD, but it does seem a bit of a limited concept, certainly as far as farmers are concerned. What's the most important biosecurity for cattle? I asked them. As I said, there were some answers about Wellingtons and so forth, and some completely puzzled faces. Secondly, Foucault talks about territory. EID and real-time traceability is typically a big scale for epidemiologists. They're looking at national and supranational scales for their interventions, for example, BVD eradication in Scotland. Thirdly, Foucault talks about population. This is conducted on complete animal populations. It's not conducted at all at the farm level. I'm going to have to hurry up. Without a panopticon, we can't really talk about Foucault. So the surveillance system itself is pretty panopticon-like, most people would probably agree. It's this central eye, this gaze, this principle of surveillance over all individuals, a machine of power. Foucault goes on to say about this that a panopticon, it breaks down individuals, places, time, movements, actions and operations. It breaks them down into components such that they can be seen on the one hand and modified on the other. And I would argue that the BCMS system, Scott EID, operate very much like that. They're taking a minimal amount of data, a parish record, foot location, a passport number, and a movement history. With this minimal amount of data, they're trying to govern the epidemiological environment. And I'm probably going to have to finish. I was suggesting that there's some critical questions we can ask about this machine of power, but doubtless this particular audience will have quite a lot of critical reflections on a panopticon, so I'll leave it there. Thanks very much.